Is this microphone annoying you?
No.
Are you sure? I just hear this horrible echo, and it's really distracting to me. But if it's not bothering you, then thank you for bearing with it. But I know that these last 3 months have been challenging and difficult on many levels. But I've got to tell you, they were almost torture for me, preaching into a recorder and not seeing people in front of me. And I want to thank you for being faithful to listen to God's word, because even though I felt so inadequate and I felt like I just wasn't preaching my best because I was so preoccupied with speaking into a microphone and a recorder, that I just have longed for this day when I would stand behind this pulpit again and see your beautiful faces and know that there are hungry hearts in this house for God's word. 3 months has been a very, very long time, hasn't it? But if we believe God's word, and we certainly must believe God's word, and I don't have a long PowerPoint, but is that ready, Nick? Okay. If we believe God's word, we know that the scriptures tell us in Romans 8 and 28 that all things, Paul says, we know. Do you know? We know. That doesn't mean we think or we hope or we feel. There is a conviction deep down in our soul that knows the reality of the truth of God's word, that whatever it is that comes into our lives, it is working together for good. The coronavirus and this pandemic that has hit us in the face, as it were, that has stopped us in our tracks, that has caused our routine to veer off into other paths, is working together for good. Even when things come into our lives that Satan has authored, that Satan intends for evil, aren't you glad that you know God today? And because he is God, he has the power. No one else could do what God can do, to take what is evil and turn it around and use it for good. I don't know about you, but that blesses me. That encourages me. That makes me know that even when I am at my lowest because of what life has doled out to me, God's turning it around and using it for good. So these last 3 months, as terrible as some of us thought that they were actually given to us by God to steward them. How many of us? I don't want an answer, because I don't want any of us to be embarrassed. And I know we've all had our moments, but how many of us can truly say, I have used this season as a good steward of time that God entrusted to me? It wasn't a time to just complain. It wasn't a time to just worry and fear and doubt. These 3 months are now gone. They can never be retrieved. But it's my prayer that we did not fritter away those days, those weeks, those hours in mere frustration, or worse yet, in endless hours of inane activity, binging on Netflix and the like, which while for the moment may seem enjoyable and is a narcotic for the pain that we feel in, once that binging is over, there's still a great big hole in our hearts. But rather we used it as an opportunity to say, thank you, Lord, for giving me this extra time to go deeper in you? Did we use it as an opportunity to go deeper in God? You know, God wants to take us deeper. And sometimes we get so taken up with the hustle and the bustle of our lives that we don't even have time to stop and think about what God is wanting to do. So he allows a pandemic to come that stops us in our tracks and says, now what are you going to do with that time when you used to drive to work, but now you could work from home? Or sadly, for those who were laid off, they had the whole day to themselves. What are we doing with that time? A deeper work, which always begins with a deeper repentance that many of us want to shy away from. We want to run away from. But God says, this is the foundation, and this is the beginning to the deeper work that I want to do in your life. I want to tell you, I was so blessed early on in this pandemic when I spoke to a dear saint of God who was deeply troubled by all that was taking place in our world, not only with the pandemic, but with the murder of George Floyd, and it just was a crushing, crushing blow. But she said to me, Pastor, I just want you to know that I'm crying out to God, God, do a deeper work in me. And I thought, oh God, that's the direction that all of your people need. We're so easily taken up, getting on the bandwagon of what everybody else is thinking and saying and doing, instead of saying, God, what are you saying? And how do I make myself available to you so that I could hear your voice and respond in obedience to what you are wanting to do in my life? God's desire is to do something so radical in our hearts that we never, ever again return to what is called normal. Oh, I know that we want to get our lives back where we're not wearing these silly masks anymore, and we don't have to worry about social distancing anymore. I get that. But along with that, some of us are ready to fall into the same ruts and into the same routines that we were in that got us nowhere in the things of God, that never advanced us in the kingdom of God. I never want to go back to normal again. And I know I surprised some of you with this beard. And I must confess, I did it for one reason, because it's nice not to have to shave all the time. That's part of the Adamic curse as far as I'm concerned. But aside from that, I wanted this to be some kind of prophetic sign that I don't want to be the same pastor that I always was. I want to go deeper in God. I want a greater anointing from God. I want to see God move as the pastor of this church, to see his glory revealed in this house. I want to go beyond what has been normal, what has been routine, what has been the expected. To come into this church and say, we don't know what God is going to do today, because our hearts are prepared. Our hearts are hungry. Our hearts are in passionate pursuit after the living God. Normal for so many of us has been cyclical, a cycle of defeat and despair, going around the same mountain, 40 years in the desert, and never coming into our inheritance. Why would we want to go back to normal? Why would we want to go back to normal and just go through the routines? Now, I understand that routine, even in our Christian life, is important. And yes, I hope and pray it's part of your routine to get up in the morning and to say, I need to spend time with God. But you're not doing it as a ritual. That routine has not degenerated into a ritual where you're thoughtlessly going through something that has no meaning and has no impact in your life. But now you're going through it saying, God, I can't begin my day without you. I must meet with you. I must hear from you. I'm not going through motions. And even though you may seem silent, I have set my heart on a pilgrimage, and I'm going to spend time with you. We're not aware, but sometimes the greatest and the deepest work that God is doing in our lives is when we don't even feel his presence. But he sees the posture of our hearts. He sees that we have set ourselves before him with a determined purpose that, God, I'm here because I need you. I'm here because I want you to reveal yourself to me. I'm here because I want a revelation, a deeper revelation of who you are. I want to be transformed and go from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. There's no value in going through rituals. The Lord's will is for us to have a vibrant, living relationship with him. So when we get up in the morning and go through our routine, we don't look at the clock and say, okay, now I've got to spend my 15 minutes or else I'm not a good Christian. That's not what it's about. But it's about saying, God, I have an appointment with you. And whether or not I feel goosebumps, your word says, am I not he who filleth the heaven and the earth? And you are in me, and I am in you. And I rejoice in that reality because it's as I press in to that reality that eventually the manifest presence will be revealed. So many of us, for normal, is going into our day spiritually unclothed, unprepared, and unarmed, and then we wonder, why is the devil beating up on me? God wants us to know that as we meet with him in the secret place, as we spend time in his presence, as we open up his word to feed and nourish our souls, you would not think of running out of the house without breakfast because your blood sugar is going to be low and you're going to feel like you're ready to faint. And yet we run out of the house without spending time with God. Oh no, Christian friends. We need to go beyond the normal into a new normal where we understand that every day is a new adventure. Every day is a new experience of going deeper and deeper in God. Our time in his word is his opportunity to speak to us. It's not to say, okay, I've read my three chapters, but now it's to receive my daily bread. I can't live without his word. I can't live without his presence. That's the new normal. And to be in his presence and to linger there. I know that those who are a little more mature in the Lord know that there are dry seasons. But if you persevere, God says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Now, I don't know about you. Yesterday I lost something in my house. It's something that I lose constantly. And my wife always says, honey, a place for everything and everything in its place and you would not lose it. Lesson learned. I hope it doesn't happen again. But I looked all over because I had to find it. I had to find it. Actually, it was the iTouch that had the music for this morning's pre-service worship. And so everywhere I looked, I couldn't find it. But I wouldn't give up searching because I had to find it. Now, is that how we feel about the Lord? God, I have to have your presence. See, when you experience the reality of God's presence, you're never going to be content without it. When God revealed himself to Moses, and Moses realized the task that lay before him, he said, God, don't carry me up hence unless your presence goes with me. I can't go into this day without the reality of your presence. God wants us to know his presence. Yes, he's the God that fills the heaven and the earth. And by faith, we could believe that. But I believe it is the children's bread that as we seek, we will find and we will experience the manifest presence of God. And do you know when you find that? You may have spent 15, 20, 30 minutes in prayer, but then it comes. And there's this glory that you experience. And you say, I need to leave and I need to go to work, but I just want to stay here and linger because the presence is so sweet. The presence is so awesome. That's that place of prayer where he reveals his glory to us. It's a place of communion that God wants to bring us into once again. Not a ritual, not going through motions, but when his presence comes, there's a transformation that takes place. It's in this place where he equips us, where he commissions us, where he molds us, where he makes us. I was reminded of the greatest military generals the world has ever known. Or I should say, the greatest military general the world has ever known. And it wasn't Julius Caesar. It wasn't Napoleon. It wasn't George Washington. It was not George Patton. We read about him in Exodus, where the Bible tells us the Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Joshua lingered. How many of us linger? Duty called Moses back to the camp. But Joshua experienced something of the manifest presence. And it was so glorious, it was so magnificent that he lingered in the presence of God. I know we've all had experiences of lingering, have we not? Have you ever read just a book that impacted you so greatly that as you came to the last page, you could hardly bring yourself to close the book and you just lingered? Sometimes that happens when you watch a movie that inspires you. If you ever go to the movie house and there's a movie that has a tremendous impact, when the movie ends, people just linger. They remain in their seats. Whereas normally they get up, who wants to look at the credits? But there was something that was so impacting that they just linger. Or you look at a beautiful sunset or something that God created and you just linger in the wonder and the glory of the grandeur of what your eyes are beholding. You cling to those moments. You want to engage fully into them. And I ask you today, how can any of those experiences, so mundane, so earthbound, that become so captivating, how can they compare to the revelation of the glory of God? And oh, how God's heart must grieve when there are lesser lovers that draw us away, when the things of this earth capture our attention, when duties, things that are urgent, not important, but urgent. So in our minds, we've translated them to meaning, oh, this is a matter of life and death, when we leave our source of life to attend to those things that are so insignificant. Joshua was in that place where God could mold him, where God could shape him, where God could equip and commission him. And it was no wonder when God said, Moses, it's time for you to step down, and it's time for Joshua to rise up. He was ready. He was prepared because he lingered at the tent of meeting. I believe God is about to do something glorious on the face of the earth. These are the best of times. I know they seem also to be the worst of times. But as believers, I want us to focus on the best of times, because the Word of God declares that in the last days, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord is going to fill all the earth. Yes, some of us are only seeing wickedness is increasing and abounding. But while that wickedness is increasing and abounding, the glory of the Lord is also increasing and abounding in a greater measure. And the Spirit of God is preparing the earth for an end time harvest. And I don't know about you, I want to be part of that glory, of that revival, of that third great awakening of the Spirit that God is wanting to pour out on the earth today. But it comes as we prepare ourselves by lingering in the presence of God, by lingering in the tent of meeting. Those of you who follow High Street Worship Center on Facebook know that every day I post the word for today, and I posted to our church Facebook page today. I didn't know that this verse would land on this day, but Psalm 27, verse 8. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, will I seek. I believe that was God's word to his church during these past 3 months. And if you missed it, don't beat yourself up. I know we missed an opportunity, but today is a fresh opportunity. Today is a fresh beginning, a fresh start to say, God, today I want to set my heart on pilgrimage. I've set my sights on the goal. I forget those things that are behind, and I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, my Lord. How many fail? How many miss their commission because they failed to linger? Do we understand this morning that it's in his presence where there's promotion, where there's elevation, where there's advancement? It's in this place that we're transformed, we're equipped, we're ordained. It's in this place where our hearts remain softened and our wills flexible to the prompt. Some of us are just waiting for the elevation and saying, oh God, when you elevate me, when you give me this job, or when you give me that promotion, when you give me this desire of my heart, then I'll follow you. Then I'll get more faithful. Then I'll start bringing my tithes. Then I'll start reading my Bible more faithfully and coming to your house more regularly. No. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all of these other things shall be added unto you. God is calling us to linger this morning. God is saying, and his Spirit is speaking to the church, seek my face. Is our response, your face, Lord will. There's resolution. There's determination. I don't care what stands in my way. I don't care what hurdles I need to overcome. I don't care what obstacles I need to push out of the way. I will seek your face. Let's bow our heads in prayer.